This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Congress could complete the Water Resources Development Act in May, according to the Hagstrom Report. Both the House and Senate have passed the bill, now in conference with the House Transportation and Infrastructure Committee and the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee. The proposed increase in user fees to raise funds for construction and improvements, though, is caught up in congressional differences regarding tax legislation and hasn't been included in WRDA. Waterways Council President Mike Tuohy says WRDA and the user fees increase are key to modernization of the U.S. locks and dams, and farm leaders agree. Tuohy says this issue will be won sooner or later, but he says each year the user fee is not increased, $50 million to $76 million in revenue that could be used for modernization of waterways systems is lost. As far as livestock markets are concerned, many people have been preoccupying themselves with the hog markets, but that doesn't mean the cattle markets are being ignored. I spoke with market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, for a rundown of what we're seeing in the cattle markets.
Well, as we look at packer margins are now positive after being negative as much as $100 to $125 per head for much of the winter. The high beef prices have now moved those margins into positive territory. And that's allowing packers to be able to pay up for cattle. The thinking is that we could get steady to higher cash money again this week. We started out at steady money last week, and then most prices firmed as cash movement advanced north into Nebraska during the week. And I think we could see something similar this week with maybe higher cash in the southern plains. That's supporting the cattle futures right now. But those gains are somewhat limited at this point because there's still early marked high right above us on the charts, and there's a skepticism about whether we'll be able to sustain business at this level. Traders just being very cautious until they see the cash market actually can move higher than what it has been.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. In 2013, the average U.S. ethanol plant had the second most profitable year on record of $23 million of profits, according to a University of Illinois study. The Des Moines Register reports University of Illinois economist Scott Irwin says profits were just short of the $25 million average plant high in 2007. Irwin says recent headlines about biofuel policies paint a very negative picture of the biofuel industry. But with ethanol producers enjoying one of their best periods of profitability during the past year, the ethanol production industry is on a much sounder financial footing after experiencing drought-related losses in 2012. On March 18th, Brian Young and six of his students from Lincolnwood High School participated in the Illini Lincoln Land Use Council 9 Envirothon held at Lake Springfield. The Envirothon, sponsored by local soil and water conservation districts, is a competition where teams of five students hear presentations from experts and take tests on five different environmental categories. One alternate student also attended and participated with alternates from other schools. The categories were aquatics, soils, forestry, wildlife, and current issues. The Lancers, making their first trip to the event, did very well, taking first place in wildlife and current issues, tying for first in soils, and then earning first place overall were students Kara Steerin, Drew Bales, Ryan Bruntgen, Kate Hobson, Alicia Benning, and Devin Smith, alternate. They are now making plans to attend the state competition in Monticello on April 30th through May 1st. Congratulations to them, and we wish them good luck at state. That's all for part one of this afternoon's Farm Show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this.
Farmers, meet your new hired hand. Country Financial is getting together with AgriVisor to package grain marketing and crop insurance to maximize farm income. With AgriVisor, there is finally a grain marketing management system that is dedicated to improving your bottom line. Combine it with crop insurance from Country, and you've got a winning combination. To find out more, contact your local Country agent, Wayne Schaefer, in Jerseyville. Give us a call at 498-5800.
Farmer-owned Prairie Farms, a name that belongs on your shopping list. With fresh strawberries in your favorite market, Prairie Farms dairy products have become even more important. Prairie Farms half and half for cereal topped with red ripe strawberries. Prairie Farms whipped cream for shortcake. And for a delicious low-calorie treat to dip your strawberries in, delicious Prairie Farms yogurt. And to energize for outdoor activities, 100% pure Prairie Farms orange juice. Taste the homemade goodness of farmer-owned Prairie Farms.
If fuel prices are costing you a small fortune, Area Diesel Service can help with 5 new Agricultural Diesel Solutions modules. Now over 400 applications can get up to 35% more horsepower. And these performance modules aren't just for combines, there are modules for light and medium duty trucks. Truck Edition modules will give your Powerstroke, Cummins, Duramax, Dodge, Caterpillar, and International pickups and work trucks increased horsepower and up to 3 more miles per gallon. Call 800-637-2658 or go to areadieselstore.com for more details.
Hi, I'm Kristen Treese with M&M Service Company. Up until recently, the words convenient and financing didn't mix, but the FS AgriFinance program has changed that. FS AgriFinance enables you to secure financing through M&M Service Company for all your farming input needs. So not only do you save time, but your production needs and financial plans are all handled by people who understand your business the way you do. Ask about FS AgriFinance from M&M Service Company today. It's custom financing at your convenience.
Many people were affected by the recent propane shortage. I spoke with Mike Cum of CHS for a rundown of what happened and what is recommended to avoid getting stuck in a similar situation in the future.
Yeah, that is correct. It really was kind of a perfect storm, if you will. You have to go back to last winter and think about how we had an extension of winter into May. Now, normally, propane builds inventories from April through September for that upcoming demand season, obviously, with colder weather persisting through May, that reduced that ability to build those inventories. Then the crop drying comes along in October, and we have a bountiful harvest, if you will, and the corn came off wet because of the cooler temperatures and created an extremely high demand, second highest on record, only second to 2009. Now, while that cool weather was going on for crops, also thermostats were being turned up at that point. So as far as a distribution type of challenge, the distributors needed to keep up with the corn drying, and following the corn drying season, they're already behind on that home heat fill. So it was a scenario really where our distributors played catch up throughout the entire demand season.
It just really goes to show that we're all kind of victims of what the weather decides to do.
Yes, exactly. Agreed.
Looking forward here, what are we going to expect to see in the future? Should we be expecting maybe more shortages, or what are we looking at for next year?
Well, I think what you're looking at is a changing supply infrastructure with the shale formation development. It is creating opportunities for companies to use traditional type of distribution systems such as the Cochin pipeline that runs from Canada down in through the upper Midwest to use it for different products other than propane. So what that means is we need to adapt. We need to bring in other types of distribution, if you will, such as rail cars to help supplement for that lack of supply via the pipeline. Now, with that being said, that means that we need to look ahead and plan ahead more so than ever before. So in other words, I'm saying the propane is going to take a little longer to get to the destinations via rail. And what the consumer can do is work with their distributor, evaluate their storage. Are they right-sized for their needs? And then utilize the summer fill type programs that distributors offer. Summer propane is typically the cheapest that you're going to get throughout the entire year. And then finally, contracting. Avoid those price spikes that may happen by contracting for the demand season so you know what your price is going to be.
And you mentioned infrastructure. Is it this coming year that you guys are looking to kind of get into more of railway transportation as needed for propane?
Yes, CHS is investing $24 million to expand propane rail terminals, storage capacities, and actually establishing long-term supply agreements to ensure that a safe, reliable propane supply is going to be there when that consumer needs it.
Definitely sounds like a good idea. And as far as approaching warmer months, I think you made a valid point. It is important that everybody be sure to kind of stock up while they can if they feel the need to.
Yes, exactly. Now that it's warmed up compared to where it was 2-3 weeks ago, it's not too early to start thinking about that propane for next year and talking to your distributor and having those discussions ongoing. So CHS does one part in that supply chain, coming from the wellhead, if you will, all the way down to the consumer. But it is a chain, and everyone needs to do their part. So again, from the consumer side of things, controlling the controllables, the storage, the summer fill, and the contracting is highly recommended.
Again, that was CHS Propane Marketing Manager Matt Kumm. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.